Dear Shooter, the Babylon Bee might as well hang it up with the headlines we've seen lately. We now have lawsuits against gun retailers that have absolutely no connection to the incident, as well as California Governor Gavin Newsom tries to acquire a firearm, and then what the hell, Sig?
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just
made
that
clip
weird.
On, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Boy, where do we start with the nonsense? Of course, you just told me that we can't go to the casino right now because there's an armed gunman.
Only in Reno.
In Reno,
I mean,
that's right.
Seriously.
The place that I always stay when I go for instructor conference. Great. Ruin all my hangouts.
Oh, it's been 5 hours since that post. I'm sure it's cleaned up by now.
It'll be business as normal by now.
No, I'm sure. So this is what caught my attention on this, and this happened, this posted last week. It's an article out of Ammo Land, and it says the mother of a 15-year-old shooting victim is planning on suing Pennsylvania-based gun parts retailer JSD Supply and Patriot Enterprises and its owner, Jordan Vinroe, for a shooting that took place in Philadelphia using a gun not purchased from or even offered for sale by the retailer.
So the grounds for the suit is...
I have no clue.
They sell guns.
Yeah.
But not that gun.
Yeah.
So why did she choose that one? Did she just pull one out of a basket because she doesn't know where the person who shot her son, where the gun came from? I mean, what...
Well, okay. So it's a leap, but this is where I think the connection lies. So this Vinroe, he is kind of in the outs with Josh Shapiro, the now governor, because they were trying to not allow him into gun shows. So he said, fine, and bought the gun show. And now he hosts several. And I think the link that they're trying to make is this 80% lower that was purchased by this killer, not requiring a background check.
It's not a gun.
Right. Was purchased at one of these gun shows. So that's the leap that she's trying to make.
So at the gun show, a block of aluminum was purchased.
I'm saying, so if that's the case and she wants to give this a whirl, the entity and the gun show, just because he owns part of that JSD supply, that has nothing to do with this suit. She needs to stick to whatever she believes to be true.
Well, we could take this another direction real quick, though. He did this with a 80%, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if you were intent on doing something malicious, you have to buy a gun you have to make first before you do said action.
There's major intent there.
Well, it's major intent there, and it gives you all the time in the world to cool off.
Right. And this guy, okay, the incident happened in July of 2023.
The most responsible killers I've ever known.
Right. Mentally disturbed man was wearing body armor and a ski mask, ended up shooting and killing 5 people. So this goes into the mass casualty category.
Okay.
He did this based off of an 80% lower AR-15.
He had to build it before he could do it. There's some fortitude there that I have to admire.
Massive premeditation.
I mean, is she going to go after the metal manufacturer or the 3D printer manufacturer or
CNC clear.
Manufacturer?
Yeah, you're exactly right. This guy bought a block of aluminum.
Well, and let's dilute the water a little further here. the 80 lower that he purchased was from a company called 80 Lower. It's an Indiana-based company.
Okay.
So why are we not going there?
I don't know. Maybe they have better lawyers.
I feel like she just pulled this out of the hat. Okay, so the one dude that partially owns the JSD supply had the gun show where this thing is purchased. She might be able to hang her hat on him, but she's not going to be able to hold it over the JSD.
Well, and I think part of this, too, is she's trying to piggyback off of Josh Shapiro's lawsuits against him for the 80% lowers. ATF has already, they've ruled them like they're okay.
Well, yeah, they're not a firearm. They've been very clear about that.
But once you make them one, you yourself is supposed to get them serialized.
Well, yeah.
And then that brings it back to the psychopath that shot the kid to begin with.
Right.
He had to go through a lot of processes. If he didn't have a mill and some machining skills, he had to buy a jig. And that jig has to be lined up properly. Ask me how I know.
Yeah.
I've done
several
of these.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it exactly right, you screw up the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean exactly right. So there is a lot to be said about this guy's intent. Because if he was premeditated in doing this, and this was the catalyst for getting the job done, it's the slowest possible way to go about it.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's like trying to kill an elephant with a pocket knife.
No, with a stick you got to sharpen and carve out a gun first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the lawsuit, I find, lacking the integrity that it should to be valid in our court system.
But is it really? Because you can sue when McDonald's coffee is too hot.
Yeah, and again, lacking the
and
integrity.
And that was overturned.
Yeah.
Let people bring these kind of lawsuits in. That's why we get them.
Yeah, that's where I blame the court system. What attorney in his right mind is going, yeah, you have a case here. And then on top of that, what judge is allowing this to go forward? Although, look at some of the judges that we have.
The lawyer doesn't care. The check cleared. But the judge, it's a waste of his damn time.
The judge should care.
He absolutely should.
It's
a waste of our time. It's a waste of taxpayer money because you've got to pay all of those people in the court instead of trying the guy that committed the crime, we're going through this crap.
Did the guy that commit the crime survive the event?
It does not say.
Because often they don't.
I my guess is no, because you're absolutely right.
So this is a civil suit. Boo-hoo, pay me.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And that's, to me, that's a lot of the problem. And we need to, this is what I really want to see GOA, NRA start to go after is, let's start to protect our firearms manufacturers when their products are misused.
Yeah.
But there was really no manufacturer.
There really was. Yeah, no, there wasn't. The guy that committed the crime was the manufacturer.
On record, yes. Yeah, so that's a little bit harder. It's such an outside fringe type of case to get, the holy trifecta of gun rights involved on it. That's one that's on the outside. That would be a little weird.
Well, that's somebody, suing some accessory manufacturer for the truck that the drunk driver killed somebody in.
Agreed.
I mean, this is the level of where we're at.
We've seen it with the resurgence of banning of printing firearm parts. A lot of states recently have taken up the torch and the pitchforks about printing gun parts on a 3D printer.
But so what do you mean? I mean, are they going to the extent of if I have the 3D printer and I have the materials to be able to print the part, am I in violation now?
Well,
are they going to go with it?
If they take the ATF's mantra, possession shows intent, yes.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
Correct.
Then what? You 3D print it and then somebody gets hurt and then you sue the 3D printer.
Yes, that's where we're at.
That's interesting.
That's kind of what it sounds like to me. That's going on.
There needs to be a reminder that the responsibility lies with the one conducting the action.
Exactly. And that's where we need to, how is this a difficult concept that assault is a verb?
But if this guy didn't survive it, she has nobody to sue. then it's an emotional case.
Well, it doesn't say she could sue him, but I doubt he has anything. The guy was a mental case.
So back to the civil suit of boo-hoo, pay me.
Yeah. And that's what all of this stuff is.
Not that we lack the feelings for the people who were
shot. No, I mean, it's a horrible thing.
Or shot and injured.
But to me,
you have to pick the right person to point your finger at.
Okay, so let me ask, you know, and I don't have the details of the actual shooting, but these are the questions I would ask. Was it a gun-free zone? Okay, then I'm going to start looking at whoever owned the property is responsible for the security.
Well, it's funny how that works. On private property, yes, you can restrict what is on your private property, in my possession even.
Right.
That's been case law for a long, long time.
Right.
But the decision of doing so makes you liable for me and my safety.
That's right.
While I'm on your property.
That's right.
That's also been case law.
Mm-hmm.
This has got problems written all over
it. Well, and it goes back to, you know, every anti-gun policy, and it comes down to the law of unintended consequences. We see it over and over and over, and we've seen it most recently with our buddy Gavin Newsom over in California.
Oh my God!
Says it's too easy to get a gun.
Yes,
it's way too easy to get a gun.
His stance is, it is too easy to get a gun. I mean, California is wanting to require NICS checks for ammunition. Now, California Supreme Court struck that down, and so did the Ninth Circuit.
So the Sean Ryan show. Was lucky enough to be picked by Gavin Newsom's recent media push. He wanted to go out and kind of redress his identity and let people know what he was about, because obviously he's going to be running.
He wants to run for president.
And so he has a lot of damage control from an identity standpoint to cover. So he comes on to the Sean Ryan show. And I got to tell you, Sean Ryan's one of my favorites. He gets a little military politics, but I kind of geek out on that stuff. But he is really smart. What he did here is when Gavin Newsom came on, he was nice with the pleasantries and talked to him a little bit, and then he gifted him a SIG 365.
Mm-hmm.
Gave it to him as, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate your time. Did a solid guy thing and gave the dude a gun.
Right.
And they joked back and forth where, you know, he was just trying to catch him and he was trying to, you know, entrap him. And they had a good laugh about it on the show. Well, Mr. Newsom goes to take this thing home.
This is where it gets fun.
You know, he traveled out there on carry-on luggage only. He didn't have any check bags. And he got turned away at TSA, said, you can't fly with this. So then he had to go find an FFL.
Well, no, wait, no. First he tried to just ship it to himself.
Yes.
And they're like, no, you can't do that.
So frustrated, he finds an FFL. And they have to ship it to an FFL near wherever he's at. And they got that accomplished, so he flies home. Right? A couple days later, he goes into the FFL that received his firearm and attempts to pick it up.
Yeah, 10-day waiting period.
Yeah, he's got to do 10-day waiting in California, plus the California check and the 4473. Yeah.
He fills out the 4473 and was grumbly about it because, well, don't they know who he is? Right? And then he fails the background check. And now he's really in a pickle because you have a governor who lied on an affidavit.
Well, and I want to know exactly what he failed. I mean, I know when we do 4473, if someone gets declined, they don't tell us why. But why would a governor? Because you have to have a felony or psychiatric problems or admit to using drugs.
Well, he's a Democrat, obviously, has psychiatric problems.
Well, and to fail the 4473, you can do it for a number of reasons. The ID that you show does not match the address you put down on the paper. Mm-hmm. That's a fail.
And it was probably something stupid like that.
He could have clicked the non-binary box for gender. And that's a further delay. It's not necessarily a fail, but it's a delay.
Yeah, but he flat out failed it.
Regardless, he failed the 4473.
I think governors should have to pass a 4473
Absolutely.
Before they go in office.
Well, they should at least have to pass a background check. And typically, most politicians, they're they have their campaign people do a pretty extensive background check because they want to know all the skeletons that might come out in the campaign.
And they go through the process of fixing him and cleaning it up. And
they never told him once that he shouldn't try to get a gun because we know what you did.
Well,
last summer.
Right? But it's just it's funny because he looks at Sean Ryan and he says, yeah, man, I'm not anti-gun at all. Excuse me?
He's the most anti-gun governor California's had.
Well, I really like, again, he's the one that says it is too easy to get a firearm, but yet he can't get one.
Well, and he's working to push through legislation to ban Glocks in California.
He has no idea what he's talking about. Let's just be clear.
No.
He's trying to ban things that he has no idea that the law is already in place.
Right.
And the position of ignorance couldn't be further on display.
Well, maybe he's just mad because he can't have one.
Well, and I think it goes beyond that because now he's having to eat his own words saying that guns are too easy to get. And now that he's actually having to go through the process and understand, no, they're not that easy.
And you won't find too many stories about this. Amalone picked it up. Sean Ryan talks about it every now and then. But it's been really well buried.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I failed someone on our sheriff's department on a 4473.
Yep.
We don't give it to you just because of who you are.
And we knew the dude. We hung out with him.
We did. But again, his address did not match his ID.
And that's a fail. I'm not going to let you jeopardize my license on that kind
of
stuff.
No, we don't care who you are.
And more than that, more than just the 4473 and the 10-day waiting period, I think California has their own background check that they do, similar to Colorado. But the governor would have to obtain a firearm safety certificate, which requires 75% score on the written test pertaining to firearm laws and safety requirements. Additionally, requires a gun owner to perform safe handling demonstration at the dealership before taking possession of the firearm. Now, there's more.
He never got that far.
Yeah. If Newsom does not own one, he would have to purchase a certified lockbox or other DOJ-approved safety device to store his gun. And if he wants to buy ammo for it, according to him, he would have to go through yet another background check.
Which you can't pass.
But they're so easy to get.
Oh, it's terrible how easy they are to get.
California, it's really rough because of all the requirements.
He's the governor. The requirements he wrote.
Yeah.
He signed them into law.
And doesn't California, if I'm not mistaken, California puts a limit on how much ammunition you can have in your possession at any given time.
Well, and up until recently, you had to fill out a background check to get ammunition.
Right.
Now that's unconstitutional.
Yeah. They got that fixed. But I do think there is still a quantity restriction.
I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
I thought it was funny. I was joking when I was down in Mexico teaching. Those guys can only have 100 rounds in their possession. Doesn't matter caliber or whatever. 100 rounds total in their possession.
So not even a real mad minute.
No. No. Maybe a single shot.
That's it. Next time we have a mad minute day, it's single shots only.
Well, you know.
I don't think I own like one of those.
I don't own one.
I'll loan you one.
Well, let's, we're really almost halfway already. Let's pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to get into the saga of Sig Sauer.
Oh, yay.
If you haven't tried 10th Mountain Whiskey, can you even call yourself a shooter? Okay, Mr. AK guy that only drinks vodka. 10th Mountain has that too. Still too much? Maybe that cordial would suit your unrefined palate. But for you real pipe hitters out there, the single malt can't be beat. Whiskey is an acquired taste. And if you don't like whiskey, I suggest you acquire some taste. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. It's whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations. Using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target, under budget.
So last Thursday, Gunsight, the fabled Gunsight, jumped on the bandwagon prohibiting 6-hour 320 pistols. And what I've seen in the last couple of weeks is warranted. I actually haven't allowed these in my class in a year and a half.
So, from a manufacturer standpoint, issue, real or not, the perceived issue becomes fact. And at the end of the day, SIG should have addressed this years ago.
Agreed.
They could have obsoleted the pistol and came out with a new version that had those issues fixed, and it wouldn't have incurred a recall or all the lawsuits that they're currently going into.
Mm-hmm.
But they doubled down on it. Their ego got in the way. And they're in a pretty gnarly pickle right now. They tried to supply a target trigger in a defensive pistol. And that's where I think they got into trouble.
Right. Well, and you know, we've seen the slop in the slide. And I think that causes a lot of problems as well. And I know, you know, you say they doubled down on it. And they doubled down on it trying to protect, you know, the M18, which is the military version of the 320, which is like an $8 million contract with the U.S. military. The problem is I know of two lawsuits they've had to pay out. I couldn't find the other one, but this one, it was a Robert Lang, a man in Georgia. They awarded him $2.3 million.
That's admission.
Yeah. You know, and now they're appealing it, and SIG is saying that he didn't meet the burden of proof for product liability. But obviously a judge and jury thought otherwise.
Okay, did our airmen at F.E. Warren here in Wyoming, are they going to have proof of burden since didn't the guy die?
Actually, it was a woman.
Or a woman.
Yep. So, What I understand happened was that she took this off of a 6-hour quick connect, or not a 6-hour, but a Safari Land quick connect. The gun's still in the holster, set it on the table, and it went off, shot and killed her.
Shot her in the chest.
In the holster.
Yeah.
And Safari Land is no joke for a holster.
Now, that's a good holster. I have several. And the problem's going to lie with the pistol here.
I think their military contract is not going to be very good if people in the military are dying from it.
Well, what has happened now is the Air Force Global Strike Command, which oversees some of the nation's most sensitive strategic assets, issued a pause in the use of M18 pistols across the command. Personnel have been ordered to stop carrying or handling the weapon until a root cause analysis can be completed. They're replacing it right now. Everybody's going back and carrying the M9.
A proven pistol.
Sucks, but it's proven. Yeah,
it's a proven pistol. not my favorite, but I don't necessarily think that their reaction to this is overreaching. I think it's straight up good policy.
Now, if it would have just happened to one or two random people in the U.S., you know, they might have some to stand on, but this is getting ridiculous.
Well, now and right now the FBI has gotten involved because of a uncommanded discharge from a Michigan law enforcement team.
Yeah.
You know, and when the FBI starts investigating your product, it might be time to maybe eat some crow and go, all right, let's see what we can do to fix
this.
It's
past time.
Well, it is.
The position they're going to find themselves in from a product liability standpoint is 100 times, if not 1,000 times, more serious now than it ever has been.
Mm-hmm. They need to recall that shit now. All of these people have a case.
Oh, absolutely.
There will be future cases if you don't issue a recall right now to say, hey, the recall was made.
Well, and when military and law enforcement start having the issues, you know, your contract with them that you're trying so hard to protect by doubling down on stupid, it's just going to make it worse.
And one gun in a company that makes hundreds of guns, they won't think about the other hundreds of guns. It will ruin them.
It will. And it sucks, too, because SIG's a great company. I mean, one of my duty guns that I carried for years, and I still have it, the 229, I love that gun. The 226, 229, that whole line, That put SIG on the map.
They were great guns. A little top-heavy, but they functioned just fine.
Oh, they're great. Very low recoil. You know, double action, single actions, you know, hammer fired. I mean, great guns.
Yeah, and they found themselves in a situation over ego on this one that they're not going to be able to get out of. I don't care what kind of lawyers they've got. They're stuck.
No. And the pushback and the fallout from all of this, the negative press that they're getting. And you hear, you know, even bad press is press, but when it comes to being a solid manufacturer like that, this kind of negative press will bury you.
So the folks that say that bad press is press, right? They're politicians. They're saying your name, right? It's about name recognition. You'll get elected on it.
Right.
But this type of press, people are going away from all of your products, not just the 320.
That's right.
And it's a stigma that'll take years for them to get out of.
Well, I had a student text me today and say that they had put their 320 in a box, unloaded, with no magazines or anything near it. And that's where it's going to stay until this is resolved.
Well, and I hate this because now we do have a gun that allegedly has gone off by itself. Mm-hmm. And we've always said from 2A guys, it takes a bad guy handling that gun. Guns don't just go off by themselves.
Yeah, right.
Well, we have a case now that the other side can use.
Right.
Which
I know.
Hate.
And it sucks too.
Be right.
Yeah, because I had another instructor. He sent me a video of a class that he was in, and the camera angle it was just right at the time. The guy's standing on the line, hands on his hips, and the gun goes off in the holster.
No,
like nothing even close to touching a gun. It was in fact, it wasn't. It was a Safariland holster, and it went off on the line.
We've looked at the Safariland holster. There's no way the holster is inhibiting and starting this.
No. No.
It just happened to be a coincidence that's what it was in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think he'd shifted his weight.
It's a great bucket to put your firearm in.
Oh, they're
that's
great.
Really all it is.
They're great buckets. I love them.
But it's not the holster, guys.
It's not.
This is not the Serpa.
No. No.
Which creates an intentional bad position of the finger and attention. Mm-hmm. This is not that.
No, it's not, and I don't know if this is engineering. I don't know if it's manufacturing tolerances. I don't know what's going on. But SIG's got to step up and take responsibility for this.
So just as a precaution, I don't own a 320.
I don't either.
I know folks that do, and I have been talking to them about. You have other pistols. Put that one down for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Let this one figure itself out because it's going to be ugly. And there's no reason to put yourself in jeopardy. Just put that one down for a while.
Well, and it's not just you. Yeah, you know, if this thing's going off on its own, you're putting not only yourself, but you're putting other people at risk.
Agreed.
And that is extremely irresponsible as a gun owner.
Well, looking back at some of the classes I've taken, advanced pistol handling class, with Pincus.
Yeah.
You are putting that pistol in some awkward situations because you're in an awkward situation, right? Mm-hmm. And if this is prone, it'll show up in that type of class, and you're too close to people on the line.
Yep. Well, and your awkward positions, you're contorted. Sometimes you're shooting behind yourself. I mean, it's and to be fair, like I don't want people to get the wrong impression. That class is done at a very, very slow pace. It is the absolute emphasis is on muzzle control, trigger control, making sure that you're not sweeping yourself or somebody else.
There are a lot of prerequisites.
I was just going to go there.
Yeah, it's huge.
You don't get to be a newbie and step into this class.
No, you have to pass several classes before you're allowed to apply to take it.
Yeah. It is definitely not a beginner class. And it's very much an experiential class. It's not... You know, I'm teaching you these tactics because this is what you're going to use in the real world. No, shit happens. You may end up in this position, and here's how to make the best of it.
Giving you tools for your toolbox, Justin Casey.
Right.
That's it.
Right. But this isn't the first, you know, this is the most egregious thing I've seen from SIG lately, but they're even kind of going dumb on some of their classes from SIG Academy. You showed me a class. They're doing this up in Montana. It's a it's a long range class, and I think it's 3 or 4 days, and they want like, I think they're charging like $3,000 for this thing. Plus you have to bring your own ammo and your gun, but they're claiming that they're going to get you out to a mile with a 308 or a 6.5 Creedmoor. And I'm kind of going, that's not how that works. And you actually posted on the thread and got Brian Litz's attention.
All I said was, what, you know, this is a bad idea. Knowing a little bit about ballistics, I mean, you can do it. You can make the 308 or the 6.5.
But you're I've done at it, but yeah. Cloud, I mean, above the cloud.
But we're also the crowd that hit a Buffalo at 11.27 with a 9mm pistol.
It, to be fair, the thing was the size of a Winnebago.
But it's indirect fire.
It is. It's a mortar round.
You cannot claim that that's a precision shot.
No.
The ballistics just aren't there.
No. I mean,
and
you're...
It was real simple. I said, this is a bad idea. And somebody from SIG Academy chimed in with the cocky, yeah, what makes you think so?
Brian Litz chimes in with physics.
The next post was, Brian Litz, physics. One word, mic drop, and said, go ahead, argue with that guy.
I mean, and he's not wrong. I mean, and I've done this. Like, I sat at the bench one day, and I bet it took me 20, 25 rounds to do it. I hit the mile with my 308, but it's not repeatable. It was total, like, just walk the thing in, and you could see, like, it when it hit the plate, you could see the impression the bullet was sideways.
Oh, it was totally tumbling.
So it's not.
And the angle in which it came in on a vertical plate, it looked like a cat scratch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something you're going to just go out there and do.
So I understand you want to cater to, I want to do that checkbox, you know, bucket list type of stuff for a lot of shooters. But do it with something that is repeatable and doable.
Right. And it was one thing, when I first saw that, I was very, very disappointed, because SIG Academy is kind of, you know, they're up there with Gunsight. They're up there as kind of the upper echelon of this is what, especially civilian training, should be.
They've hired some good trainers, and I understand that the education's good.
Oh, yeah.
Just this specific piece of curriculum has a flaw.
I was like, what? Really?
Yeah. Somebody was on vacation, and the mice will play. I'm just saying.
Is that how that went? But I don't know. I mean, I hate that we're having to sit here and beat a dead horse, because I mean, we've been talking about SIG off and on for a year and a half now.
Well, it amuses me that they double down with hubris, and they do it so publicly. And then their PR engine's well-developed. They are pushing information out.
Mm-hmm.
And the stance that they've taken, they're going to get knocked down a peg or 20.
Well, just a couple of months ago that they, you know, the pressure was really on them about the 320, and they came out with some kind of press release, and it was like, this ends now.
Yes.
And it's like, well, we'd love it to.
I giggled because they're going to tell the internet to stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Which just made the internet talk about it. And not
don't tell me how to live my life.
Right?
That's exactly how that went over. I don't know. SIG, I advise you to pull your head out of your ass, issue a recall, and fix this before it gets worse.
Just stop production of the 320 and come out with the 321.
Yeah.
And fix your problems.
Yeah.
Any perception of a problem has become real.
Yeah. Well,
and I get rid of the name 320 because there ain't a soul on the planet that's going to buy it even if they fix the problems.
Well, that's what I don't understand is the people that are still buying it.
They don't watch the news.
Or they're such fanboys, you know, and you hear them. Oh, there's no way. You had to have manipulated the trigger somehow. But now we're starting to see documented cases from absolute firearms professionals and now the FBI that are replicating, nobody touched the trigger.
Yeah, this wasn't a random internet troll. This is getting serious.
Yeah.
Well, the internet troll, great segue for my next comment. Because I watched today a YouTube video of a guy who goes into this semi-scientific diatribe of how this could be a problem. But he does show how the slop in the slide, if manipulated, drops the sear.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it with prime brass. There's nothing in them. And I'll be damned if a wiggle of that slide didn't make his gun go off.
Well, and yeah, my only criticism was it with that. Now he was taking up the slack in the trigger. I think that kind of invalidated some of his results because we're talking about absolutely no trigger manipulation. But what he did show with the slide, and I think he needs to work on his conversions because he was like, oh, that's less than a millimeter. No, it's 0.2 inch is what he measured, which is damn near 2 millimeters.
That's a lot of slop. And
men can't measure.
But the striker firing mechanism's in the slide. And the trigger, that connection's in the frame. If there's slop there and you have a part out of spec, the theory there that he's got's valid.
His theory is absolutely valid. His test method probably needs to be refined a little bit, but no, his theory and his results are actually valid as well. But the fact that he was holding the trigger at the wall, I think was the one thing that's going to hang him up.
I agree. But if you think about how we handle pistols, right? You're on the line, you shoot your rounds, you have prepped that trigger, and the line gets called cold, right? If you put it in the holster that way and there's wiggle in the slide, what happens?
Well, in theory, you should have taken the prep out of the trigger when you took your finger off.
But what if the trigger didn't come out of the prep? What if it stuck?
Right. Because
the FBI found a ledge.
Yep, they did. Well, so, and SIG triggers have 3 walls. You know, most people don't have, they're like, I know you're looking at your radio right now going, what 3 walls? What are you talking about? But if you take a SIG trigger, and then 365 is actually a perfect example of this. If you have one, you know, put an empty chamber, press it to the first wall, and then press very, very, very slowly back, you'll feel 2 more.
I have that pistol and you're absolutely right.
You know, that's one of the things that we teach is that a lot of guns have more than one wall. And you have to know where those are at. 1911s have 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something you have to be aware of. So you're absolutely right. I could see that trigger catching on the first or second wall.
If there's a ledge there that retains tension, wiggle in the slide, that much slop.
Which all that takes is putting it in the holster.
Putting it in the holster.
And where have these...
Now, usually at classes, you have to clear before you put it in the holster, but...
No, you don't.
Well, a lot of classes you don't.
You do not.
Because you're going to go back to work with it in a second.
Yeah, I don't make my students clear before they go in the holster.
I mean, at a super basic class, yes, I can see that.
Well, a super basic class, we're not even coming out of the holster. Correct. So it's not even, that's a non-starter. You know, but the only time I ever have my students clear is when we go to lunch or when we end for the day.
Fair enough.
Otherwise, I run a hot range.
Fair enough. So, again, the problems are out there for everybody to see.
And just so you know, you take a WOWTAC class, those guns are not welcome on the range. Just going to throw that out there.
It's just not worth the risk.
No, and they're...
We can loan you anything else if that's all you own.
Yep. I mean, it went in the band barrel with the Serpas.
Yep.
And
rightly so.
There's too many problems, and there's too many potentials for problems with those two items. I'm not going to risk it and bear the responsibility, the liability if somebody gets hurt on my range because somebody else's product malfunctioned.
You can't afford it.
No, nobody can. You know, and I'm not going to risk other students because somebody shows up with that and something does go wrong. You know, I can sit there and, you know, I can, you know, you signed my liability waiver and you accepted the risks, but somebody brought something that we know to be defective.
Now, you do teach a med portion of your class.
I do.
So,
but I'd really like, I don't want to do that for real.
To, like, you know, validate the med portion?
I don't think that's cool.
No. No, we don't want to do that.
Spontaneous flesh tunnels are a no-no.
No. No, they're bad. You know, and that's, we always talk about that. You know, everybody's going to leave with the same amount of holes they showed up with. However that may be.
Right. Yikes. Who's the guy counting holes?
It's your body, dude. I don't question.
Don't ask, don't
you
tell.
You start putting that on the questionnaire. How many holes do you currently have in your body?
Wow. No, I don't think we're going to do that. But
chicken.
It's people get offended too easy.
Oh, isn't that the truth? That's another discussion for a podcast later.
Well, maybe we'll tackle that one next week. But... So I guess until then, End of this week, I'm going to go sweat myself to death in Nebraska because I think we're going to teach a class in like 110 degree weather.
Yikes.
But, you know, hey, got to go where the money's green, right?
Hydrate, would you?
Oh, God, yes. Hydrate. So until next week, blame your 320.
We're blaming SIG.
Yeah, we're blaming SIG on this one.